Now, just released reports found the COVID-19 pandemic could lead to growing inequality spanning beyond the health sector to all parts of society unless countries cooperate more. Casting out over the next 5 years, the International Science Council report forecasts deepening global inequalities and the possible collapse of some health systems. It also warns the UN's sustainable development goals will be set back by a decade, and blames governments for prolonging the pandemic by protecting their own patch rather than having an international view. The report authors also want to see a new UN Science Advisory Board to coordinate more scientific expertise and collaboration across different sectors in the event of future global emergencies. President of the International Science Council is New Zealand's Sir Peter Gluckman, who's with us now. Peter, welcome.
Thanks, Catherine.
There's a lot of pandemic fatigue, but the reality is there's going to be a large and long hangover. Can you explain a little bit more about what the report tells us?
What the report has really done by working with several hundred experts from around the world over the last year is point out the broad span of impacts of the pandemic, well beyond health to social sector, economic, diplomatic, and broader aspects of our life on this planet. Importantly, it also points out that the pandemic is not over in terms of COVID infecting us, because the virus continues to evolve. Large members, percentages of people in the world are not immunized. Some of the vaccines are not particularly effective. And therefore, we're going to see a long, grinding episode of viral episodes combined with economic and social impacts, which extend for perhaps even a decade. The report looks at the impacts of the effects of different levels of vaccination across the globe on the scenarios. And even in the best cases, we're looking at a long, long hangover. We may be tired of the pandemic, but the pandemic is going to keep on affecting how we all live our lives for a long time.
You've got three potential scenarios for worsening global inequalities, and this is the flow-on effect, right? Not just the immediate health issues, but it flows on, and we've seen how it's flowed on in their own country through to the year 2027. What's the most likely scenario you predict?
I think in terms of outcomes, I think that at best we're only going to get perhaps 60%, 70% of the global population vaccinated, and we may need to keep on vaccinating the virus mutates to more effective vaccines. And that's going to be a giant issue for the developing world, particularly given the state of global cooperation. And so we're going to see a number of countries in which inequalities get far worse. Those who are disadvantaged are going to be even more disadvantaged. We're going to see more mental health problems, further educational disruption, social care issues, economic issues in many, many ways. And while we look at it through a New Zealand lens, this report is, of course, looking at it through a global lens. And I think we cannot feel smug in a relatively well-performing country without also recognising that much of the world is not in nearly as good shape. And we're going to continue to have those consequences in New Zealand as well, as we're seeing now in terms of the economic consequences, and I think in terms of the mental health consequences, and I think we'll see a long echo in terms of educational consequences.
Just speak a little bit more to that last one, because for some students, whether primary or secondary here, and as you say, that's just looking through a local lens, there's been a real hit to a significant proportion of their education, but particularly, I guess, their attitude and their excitement about education.
Well, there's two components to it, Catherine. There's both the loss of education, the absolute loss of teacher-student time, and we all know that for many people, the digital divide made their ability to be on online learning harder. And particularly within the families where there were also mothers were trying to work from home as well, or parents trying to work from home as well, it was very hard for them. On top of that, we know that mental health issues for young people have been compounded in this episode, and I suspect that will last for a long, long time. But we know from other studies that when a year of education is lost, It has long-term consequences on those children's abilities to earn, to get good jobs, their levels of income across their life. And so if we take that and extrapolate from New Zealand across the world, and in many countries, the education, particularly in developing countries, the loss of education was almost total, we can see an enormous impact on human capital across the world, which will last for decades.
What's the collaboration you're seeking? There was frustration, of course, at the vaccine hoarding and the wealthy countries prioritising vaccines rather than sharing and trying to knock out a virus that kept mutating and, as we know, seems now almost unstoppable in its ability to avoid and to keep evolving. But what's the advice you've got now about better collaboration, science to government, and then also across, globally, across borders as well?
Well, one of the key issues, which is pretty generic, was in fact that governments tend not to take as seriously or scientific advice on risk as they should. And I think there's quite a lot in the report about how to improve risk assessment and what I call risk listening. That is how the policy makers listen to the expert advice on risk assessments. We see that most countries assume that any zoonotic pandemic would look just like influenza, and it clearly didn't. We saw that many of them acted very slowly on advice. Many of them had quite narrow sources of advice. And one of the key things that we point to is the importance of pluralistic advice. There's advice not just from epidemiologists and modellers, but from those who understand social aspects, economic aspects, educational aspects throughout the pandemic, but particularly as the pandemic moved from its early stages to the latter stages, to increase the diversity of advice that was received. Because otherwise, if it continues to be framed just as a health crisis, when it's a much broader crisis, it's a social crisis in reality, a socioeconomic crisis, a diplomatic crisis, an environmental crisis. If we don't think of it in those terms, then the decisions that made it will be very narrow indeed. And indeed, the origin of this report was a concern late in 2020 that just as the vaccines were preparing, many governments were beginning to say, the vaccines are here, the pandemic will soon be over, we can go back to a pre-COVID state again. And of course, the point that we've been making from COI2 and over the last 2 years, but particularly in this report from the International Science Council, is that we will not go back to pre-pandemic conditions. There are many things here that will occupy governments for a long time. At the multilateral level, there are many defects. The WHO was slow to respond. It was likely influenced by political considerations. It continues to perform much better, but other aspects of the UN system have been rather inchoate. And there's no real system by which science and evidence informs the holistic multilateral system. There are other specific issues, for instance, the issues that occurred around trade restraints on aspects of the vaccine and PPE and so forth. There are many, many other issues here. But fundamentally, the world is not well prepared to deal with existential crises. This was demonstrated enormously here. And I fear that the next existential crisis, whether it's a resurgence of a severe variant or another pandemic, or this more slowly burning but equally important crisis of climate change, the world has yet to learn how evidence, policy need to be better aligned both at national levels and at the multilateral level. This was never going to be a national level only crisis, and yet it's been treated by most countries as such.
Peter, thank you. Sir Peter Gluckman, President of the International Science Council, is of COI2 here in New Zealand, of course, and you can see a link to that just released report on our website.